You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has been open for around about 2 hours, so slightly later than normal because I pressed the wrong buttons earlier on and had to fix all that, or someone had to fix it for me. It's time for the opening with Nick Kunze from Sandown Private Wealth. Last night, of course, the big story was the US Federal Reserve, which turned out to be a boring story. Nothing happened, or rather, what did happen was entirely expected by the market. Markets unmoved.
Can I contradict you on that one?
Yes, you can.
Okay, so yes. So if you look at the actual price action last night, it at the end of the trading session, everything was pretty much flat. Initially, though, there was quite a big sell-off where the market's almost down to 1% at one point. But as you've seen of recent, they sort of grinded their way higher and they closed unchanged. But if I had to comment briefly on the actual Fed statement, which I actually thought was quite interesting, if you actually sort of dig down a little deeper, as I said, on the actual face of it, 25 basis points, nothing that was not unexpected. But this is where it starts to get interesting. The cut was basically in line with the expectations, and most traders expected it. But I certainly feel the central bank's projections were probably a little bit more hawkish than the market has anticipated. And if you actually delve down into sort of the futures data, which implies that before the meeting, most investors had expected at least two or more cuts by the end of 2020. And after this meeting ended, it was actually only factoring in one cut. So I think it's if you had to be a little bit, a bit more on the hawkish side, maybe the marketplace is not going to get as much central bank easing as they anticipated. So that's my brief synopsis, Lindsay.
Okay, so it's another flip-flop. In other words, in December of 2018, everyone expected 2, 3, maybe even more interest rate rises in the year 2019. Then they turned around, maybe because of political pressure, maybe because of data that they were assessing, and we've now got a cut. So what you're saying is there may not be another cut, or it'll only be one, or what?
No,
what is your assessment?
My assessment is there's probably one more cut when the market was looking for two. And if you look at the open market committee, they actually had three dissents, which is a little bit unusual. You know, Jim Bollard, which is from the St. Louis Fed, he's always been quite vocal. He wanted a steeper cut of 50 pips. And then you had Esther George and Eric Rosenberg, and they were looking for sort of unchanged to up. So quite a divided open market committee, which is going to certainly make the run into year-end quite interesting.
Yes, it will. Let's have a look at the spot prices now. It's just because it's all very well you saying it fell 1%, but if you watch every tick, then of course there was a market reaction. But the closing price is the one that is really important. And let's go with the currencies first of all. Dollar rand is 14.66, British pound against the rand 18.32, and the euro rand is 16.21. With the euro dollar, it's around about 0.25% weaker the US dollar at 110.60 against the mighty European currency. Let's have a look now at the gold price. It's up $3.75 to $14.97.5. The platinum price is down $3 to $9.29, and palladium is down $12 to $15.95. The Brent crude oil price, very interesting, this one, $64.25, up 33 cents per barrel after a wild, wild week. And I noticed today, Nick, there was a very proud Iranian fellow, a very serious-looking Iranian fellow, actually, with bits of missiles cruise missiles that he laid out, and he said, this is undoubtedly manufactured in Iran. Whether they were manufactured in Iran and sent by rogues who'd bought them from Iran, I don't know. But it certainly does point to some kind of conspiracy going on. And, you know, is this the final chapter of this book? I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either. And, Trump late last night coming out and calling for sort of tougher sanctions on Iran. I mean, they've been itching to sort of have a go at Iran for a while. And I don't know if this validates anything or not. But, yes, on the back of it, a very, very wild week in the oil price, a little bit softer today. And, you know, gone from we're coming in on Monday morning, and most analysts saying it's going to take months to get these production facilities and these refineries up and running, and in all intents and purposes, we're almost back to full capacity 5 days later. So quite remarkable for cynics out there. But yes, oil price being front and center. But I guess after yesterday's Fed meeting, and I think I have to throw in there, don't forget we've got our SARB this afternoon too, so we can comment on that with the Rand trading at 14.65. So there's a couple of other things. We're not through this week just yet. Not through this week just yet.
The whole business of oil, it's such a murky commodity. I don't know. I always think of deals being done behind the scenes. I remember there was a very famous South African or infamous South African who owned a house called Summer Place, which at the time I think was the first 1 million rand house ever sold or bought in South Africa. What was his name? Chiavelli, something like that. He was exactly. So there's always sanctions busting and things going on in the oil market. So we don't really know what's going on. There's so much money at stake. Let's look, look at now the Stock Exchange News Service. All I've got this morning is at 7:12 a.m. Texton Property Fund Limited came out with its results. Share price doing quite well, up 4.75%. Anything else you've seen today? Oh, Mr. Price Group Limited, update to the 12th of September 2019 announcement. What is that about?
Mr. Price has had a trading update recently, and the stock has been under a little bit of pressure in line with most of the other sort of retailers. But, I mean, yeah, generally bucking the trend today. A lot of red on my screen, and Mr. Price up 0.25%, 158.50. But, And regarding that Texton as well, I also saw a bit of a trading update. But the market's fairly thin today on the news front, Lindsay. It's been scrapping around for some sort of data here.
Do you think people are going away for because Tuesday is a holiday and they're all taking advantage of a long weekend?
I think Monday on the JSE is going to be pretty dead. I think you'll find volumes down significantly. But also throwing into the fact that we actually have futures close out on the JSE today, this afternoon. So, well, actually 12 o'clock to be exact. So most of the derivative traders will probably be taking advantage of a Friday and a Monday off. So, yes, I think you're right. It's going to be fairly quiet Monday. And, of course, as I said, the Reserve Bank this afternoon too. So after this Thursday, I think things are going to quiet.
Okay, let's have a look at the top five major moves on the JSE after 2.25 hours of trading. Quilter up 3.33%. The Polish property company is up 3.1%. Goldfields are 2.5%. Winner Vukile is 2.5% up as well. And so is ShopRite. Any news on ShopRite? Do you think maybe people anticipating an interest rate cut this afternoon?
I think it's a little bit of a play with the interest-sensitive stocks for this afternoon, but... we had some retail sales out yesterday as well. They were a little bit on the light side. I think the market was looking for about 2.4% month-on-month growth in retail, and they came out at 2%. So not the end of the world, but I think it just shows that maybe the South African consumer is not quite dead and buried yet. But maybe anticipation of, look, the market is very divided this afternoon. Most economists say no change, get used to it. But there's a little bit of a sort of voice sneaking through there that maybe there's a quarter point cut. But I will say, just for the record, that the market is anticipating zero cuts.
I hadn't refreshed my screen, so I gave you completely the wrong information on the top five major moves. And you didn't correct me, which shows that you're a fine gentleman. Remgro up nearly 2%. Mondi up 1.75%. Richemont a 1.6% winner. Mediclinic up 1.5%. Glencore up 1.33%. So completely disregard all those other stocks that I was talking about. Quilter, etc. Any news here? Remgro are coming out with their results, I think, quite soon. In fact,
yeah, Remgro, and if I have to comment on Richemont getting absolutely hammered yesterday. Quite a negative note out from one of the Swiss giants, UBS, basically saying along the lines of that they're basically changing their ratings on all the European luxury sector, saying that after 4 years of recovery, and I quote you, I'm just looking at the note in front of me, we may be nearing the end of the cycle, and that UBS, that a large broker, saying seeing the most risk for Richemont, which had downgraded to a sell from a neutral. So that bearing, as well as the a bit of a Rand move yesterday, that bearing the brunt of Richemont yesterday. It's a little bit of bottom picking coming in today, but that stock's still under pressure.
Yeah, I've just got a note from Remgro, actually. It says, good morning, Lindsay. Your telephonic interview set up for this afternoon at 17:55 with Mr. Yanni Durant, CEO of Remgro, is confirmed. The sense will only be released at 1700. So as the market closes, out comes Remgro. What is your attitude towards a company like Remgro? Do you think it still has a place as an investment holding company?
It does, but I think it left a lot of people disappointed over the years. I mean, there's been some long-suffering shareholders. I think they're looking as far back as 2008 after the financial crisis. There's a lot of hope that they're going to buy some distressed assets, and a big talk of buying. I think they were going to buy sort of Bear Stearns as one asset. They did or they didn't. I mean, that is 11 years ago, and if you look at what they have done the last 11 years, besides sort of reaping the benefits of the initial holdings and paying themselves some fees, I think a lot of the shareholders are a little bit disappointed. You know, they haven't been that active. Not saying that there's been huge opportunities around, but for a holding company, they've been very, very stagnant. So maybe you can push Mr. Durant later on.
I will mention that you think he's a stagnating asset. Talking about stagnating, on the downside today, we've got CAP down 6.2%, Kumba Iron Ore down 5.4%, Anglo Gold Ashanti is a 2.9% loser, Implats down 2.7%, and Assor down 2.6%. So Kumba Iron Ore and Assor both down. Is that a strong rand story or a weak iron ore story?
A bit of both, but I'd lean more on the iron ore story. The iron ore price is still trying to sort of find its feet after their drubbing last week. They had sort of four or five down days, like big down days, and came back a little bit, but I see weaker again this morning. So I think a little bit of both, but more the iron ore price, which has been under pressure.
Okay, give us the JSE indices after 2.25 hours of trading, please, Nick.
Okay, so after 2.25 hours, we have the all share is down 0.5%, 330 points. The top 40 is down 296 points, or 0.59%. Energy sector trying to keep us in the green, 0.9% up. Consumer sectors up 0.5%, but most of the pain being taken from telecommunications, industrials, basic materials, all down quite a bit between 0.76% and 1.65% respectively.
And tell me something, does Sanlam Private Wealth have an interest in the futures closeout, which I think starts at noon and goes on for what, 10, 15 minutes?
Yes, from 12 o'clock to 12:15 will be an auction. Yes, we do. We've got, obviously, we own the Satrix 40, so there'll be a little bit of reweighting and jigging later on today, and that's on the Sunam Investment side. But we have a couple of clients who have futures positions, so it will be a little bit of a busy afternoon, but tying in exactly what you said, I think, you know, busy 12 to 12:15, solve later on this afternoon, but I think you can write off Friday and Monday on the JSE as being a bit of a dead duck.
But you can't write off this afternoon because Nick Kunze will be joined by David Shapiro for the 5 o'clock shadow, of course, just after 5 o'clock. That was the opening with Nick Kunze from Sanlam Private Wealth. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za. Visit strictlybusinesspodcast.com and subscribe to receive exclusive content straight to your inbox.